The MMA world is still buzzing over this past Saturday's Elite XC debut of Kimbo Slice. And while a lot of fans are wondering if Bo Cantrell took a dive or not, the overall impression is that Kimbo Slice is a force to be reckoned with in the world of mixed martial arts, and especially in the heavyweight division. And we're very proud to have Bas Rudin, his trainer, the king of Pancrase, El Guapo himself, return to JerryPark.com to break down Kimbo Slice's debut and also talk a little bit about the IFL World Grand Prix. And Bas, we'll get right to it. I know it's hard to sort of give an overall impression of the fight because it lasted only 19 seconds, but nevertheless, how did you think Kimbo did in his first match in Elite XC?
He did 19 seconds good, and it was over. So we really can't say a lot. What I do know is that the first fight also, when he fought Mercer, he stick to the game plan exactly like we talked about. And right now also the way he was talking in was exactly the way we talked about it. And so that he does good. The thing that I want to see right now is that, getting him under pressure. And once that happens, if he sticks with his game plan, well, then we got a great guy around. And I truly believe he's got all that because I saw all the fights. But, I'm a firm believer in I got to see it first and then believe it. But he's got all the goods, man.
That said, did you expect the fight to last that short?
No, I predicted the first round knockout for sure because I know his punching power. And that right hook that he gave to the body, it came up high and on his chest. But I'm telling you, it's a punch from hell. We work hard on that because I try to improve the punches that he already has got to make him even stronger. And that's one of his favorite punches. He hits real hard with that. So I think that actually may be made Bo Cantrell decide that he had enough of it. So, he's just doing really good.
As a trainer, what did you think of Bo Cantrell opening the bout, going with the spinning back fist? Did you think that was a good plan to start things off? And what were your thoughts on the way Kimbo sort of defended it and reacted so quickly to it?
Well, as you can see, I work a lot on distance, It's very important to just stay outside the reach of your opponent. So then you don't need a lot of movement to come inside his reach. So, and that he did perfect. So when he made that back fist, he just stepped back a little bit. You'll see him is constantly at the right distance also in that fight. I think it was a smart move from Cantrell. It was an all or nothing move. It's like he expected probably that Kimbo would walk straight in. But if they walk in fast, then the back fist can really backfire on you. But if he comes in and pushes the fight slowly, slowly forward, then a back fist should have been okay. So I just think that he was kind of hoping that they would connect right away and get it over with. Because, he's an intimidating person, Kimbo.
A lot of MMA fans were expecting a Kimbo Slice first-round knockout, as you mentioned, especially due to the fact that Cantrell had recently fought just 2 weeks ago against Brad Imes. But to the vision of seeing a guy like Cantrell tap out due to strikes on the ground, and this has brought up a little bit of controversy with some people thinking that he threw the fight. What do you think of all that?
He definitely was scared. I mean, come on, we could see it, He didn't feel really comfortable in his skin right there. And I wouldn't if he had like an animal across the cage of you. So I think once he felt that power, that right hook to the body, I think that, I think he based a lot of further punishment. I think because of that he tapped, because it was just a real hard shot. And it goes in, and Kimbo told me, I didn't even feel it. I said, that means that he wasn't flexing. I said, that's what I had, the Lucia's liver. When I broke that thing, it went straight through. I didn't feel any impact. And that means that the abs were not flexing, and the muscles around his chest in this case weren't flexing. That's why he went straight through. That's what I think that made him decide to tap.
So you don't believe that someone maybe within Elite XC said, just take the fight, we need someone to fight Kimbo, just go in there for a few seconds and everything will be over and you'll get your money?
No, I don't believe that for 1%. I know Gary Shaw, he will never do that.
After the fight, it was great to see Kimbo. He was almost upset. He's like, I wanted this to last longer. He wanted the fight to go on longer, and it seemed as though Gary Shaw had said something to him to kind of calm him down. Did you happen to hear what he had said to him, maybe promising him something, we got this plan for you in a month or so, or were you not close enough?
No, I wasn't close enough, but yes, he was upset because he told me, he says, Jesus, what's going on? I said, I said, Kimbo, look at his face. He's got a big red mark on his forehead. Apparently, he hit him with something. I think that mark actually came from the ground and pound at the end, maybe because he was holding his own hands against his head, and I think Kimbo hitting those hands, maybe that made a print in his forehead. But I said, you got him. You know, he went down, you got him. But he felt it was too easy, and he wasn't happy with it.
That was just a walk in the park for Kimbo. I mean, seeing some of the stuff some of the fights that he's been in on the internet, I mean, nothing compares to what happened on Saturday night. So that said, I mean, he wasn't really tested. Is it possible that we can see Kimbo in a month or two on the next Elite XC card?
I hope so. You know, why would he? There's no injuries, there's no nothing, and why wouldn't he fight? If I was him, I would. If there's a fight in 2 months, well, take it. You know, if they offer it, take it. Stay busy. That's right now is the most important thing, to get as many fights as you can in a short amount of time. You know, get really used to the cage. And like we talked before, this fight didn't really do anything for him. You know, it's great, and he trained hard, and he improved his technique. But the fight itself, he didn't really learn a lot. I mean, what did he learn?
Have you heard of any potential names thrown out there by Elite XC?
No. I really was looking forward to the Tank Abbott fight. I think that's a great fight because Tank is a tough guy, you know. But I also think, you know, that's also going to be a first round. And but that will be a great fight. You know, you don't want to. I don't want him. He wants to fight everybody. I wanted like the next two fights, you know, get opponents. Look, this Bo Cantrell at 20 fights. I mean, it's way more experience than Kimbo had. He didn't have 20 street fights, you know, and it still is different, you know, being 20 times in a ring or in a cage with the public and audience. It's all different ballgame than a street fight. So I want him to get used to this, you know, two more fights, and then start throwing big names around. And I'm pretty confident. Right now, I just want to test him a few more times.
Yeah, Tank Abbott actually put up a video on YouTube kind of mocking Kimbo Slice. Do you know if Kimbo has seen that video?
No, I don't know. But, you know, it's coming from Tank. I mean, you know, how much value does that hold?
All right, let's switch gears now to the IFL Grand Prix. And just today, some huge news coming out of the IFL, the company in which you work for as a commentator and do such a great job. They announced the introduction of the featherweight division. And this kind of comes out of left field because there were no featherweight fights in the semifinals of the Grand Prix. How long has this been in talks to add the featherweight division in the IFL?
You know, it's been in talks for a while. They really like an extra weight class because, let's face it, we have real good fighters at 145. America has, the world has. So I think that's just a great idea. And this game also, it came very fast to me. And to put it here in the Grand Prix, that was a very, it was a fast decision. But, you know, I'm just standing behind what the IFL was doing. And, you know, adding that weight class before the next season starts, so then the next season they can start already with a champion. I think that's kind of a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'm just curious as to why they didn't have, a semifinal bout in the featherweight division and are bringing it only in this final event on December 29th. Do you have any reason behind that?
Well, I guess the reason is that they decided after the semifinals that they were going to do this, you know. So then that's the only answer I can give. You know, that's it came. I found out last week. I heard about it, and that can be the only reason, I guess.
And the two men who will be fighting for that first ever featherweight title is Wagner Fabiano going up against LC Davis. Fabiano just beat John Gunderson less than 2 weeks ago. Davis 9-0. Who are you favoring in that bout?
Oh, you know what? It's going to be a great fight. It's going to be, you know, on the ground, Fabiano, man, he's just a freak show. He's so good and so fast. So I see that if this fight goes to the ground, you know, it could be very much favoring Whitney Fabiano. But, you know, again, here I go. It's mixed martial arts. It's all about this. It's not only about the submission. It's also with the punches. So even if he ends up in the guard, you know, try to slap on an armbar while somebody else is pounding you with his fists. And I think that's, you know, it's a big question who's going to win. But that's what makes it a great. So let's hope it's going to be exciting. Let's hope it's going to pass round number one for a change with Megan Fabiano.
And as a result of Fabiano fighting in the featherweight title match, Chris Horodesky is going to be going up against Chad Learley in a rematch of a great bout from earlier this year. Learley is a fairly newcomer in the world of mixed martial arts, but he has a chance now to win the first ever lightweight title. Who are you favoring in that bout?
I'm biased, of course, and not only biased, I would say I'm all, I know my fighting. I would say, of course, Horodesky's got more experience, and he did real good, but you know what? He's got a tough opponent, man, Chad Learley. He really gave Chris a run for his money, unlimited amount of energy he's got, and a gas tank, and he keeps on pressing the fight. I'm pretty sure his game plan is going to be different now, though. I think he will shoot in right away and go for the groundwork. I'm like 95% convinced that he's going to do that. It's going to be a great fight. You know, officially, John Gunnison would have been it, but, you know, John Gunnison broke his hand. So then they said they needed a real good fight, and I truly believe that fight was one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. So I think that it's going to be a workout just fine for the fans.
So the IFL had their first ever semifinals of the Grand Prix less than 2 weeks ago, as I just said. What did you think of the event? Was it everything you expected? Were there some things that you think should be tweaked for next year? What were your overall impressions?
It was good. It was good. And normally, you got to understand, like in the semifinals, normally fighters fight to win and not to finish. Because, you know, they want to go to the finals. And I think we got lucky. Of course, Benji Redneck, he made short work again first round. And then Jay Iran, I think he did good. I think the knockout was still in his head a little bit against Donnie Lyles. Was it Donnie Lyles? Yeah. I'm mixing him up right now, yeah. And, he dominated him, took him down, was better on his feet, and then on the ground. So that was good. But I think he can be sharper. He can be better. What about Machachenko versus Shunao? That was actually the finals already, right away. I think it was good, but, you know, Shunao was planting his feet, and, you know, you don't want to plant your feet when you fight a wrestler of the caliber of Machachenko. Machachenko did a great job of taking him down and controlling him. It's very hard to fight that guy because he's got great ground control also. Who do we got more? We had Enzo Gracie's team.
You had the heavyweights going at it, and actually, I wanted to ask you about the heavyweights. There, the finals will end up being Antoine Joud against Roy Nelson, but the big man who wasn't there was Ben Rothwell. Are you hearing anything about his status for 2008?
No, I didn't hear anything. I'm pretty sure he's going to fight in M1. I mean, Monty Cox is. His manager, he kind of pulled him out. You know, there was this whole thing going on that he didn't know that there was going to be a Grand Prix, and that's kind of strange. It was like a very big question mark to me because every fighter I talked to in the IFL was kind of gunning for the Grand Prix. I wanted to be in the Grand Prix, so that to totally deny it that they even know that he was going to be in it, that was kind of weird. But I think with Monty Cox being the CEO now from M1, I'm pretty sure we're going to see him in M1.
So then maybe a potential Rothwell against Fedor match for his first bout in February?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a smart idea. You know, I think that he should get used to it. I mean, I don't know, is it going to be in the cage, the M1, or is it in the ring?
I think it's going to be in the cage.
Okay, yeah, so if I would be Rothwell, I would get used to the cage first, you know. Maybe he fought already a couple of fights in the cage. I don't know about that. But, you know, he's been fighting now for the last year and a half, 2 years almost in the ring. You know, I think that he, you know, get used to it. Don't fight Fedor Emelianenko right away. That would be not a smart thing to do. But that's all about the managers. That's not my thing. And but, you know, that would be my advice, I'd say.
Speaking of cage versus ring, the IFL is pretty much the last major organization in North America that uses a ring. Which are you more of a fan of in terms of MMA fights, cage or ring?
You know, I enjoy to watch everything. And I think that the ring is good, it's fan-friendly, and it has less of a brutal, at least less of a brutal image towards the people watching. And let's face it, we're a major network TV. You know, it's Channel 13 here in my network TV. So, you know, maybe you want to be better for the audience, look cleaner for the audience. That's why we took the elbows out also, and not for the audience only, but an elbow, you know, you're going to win with a cut. Most of the, how many people did you really see getting knocked out by an elbow? That's not a lot. I can count them on one hand, you know, but it's just unfair if you think about it. If you're ahead 2.5 rounds, so you've been really destroying your opponent, and at the end suddenly you get clipped with an elbow and you got a cut and they stop the fight and the opponent wins. Yeah, I don't see that as a real victory. So I think it's good. And what I think also the ring is, I think you need, and this is maybe crazy to say, I think there's more technique involved. You know, it's the cage, there's still the fact that you can take somebody down, press them up against the fence. And then on the fence, you can rain down an elbows, and, you know, you can win the fight. A lot of fighters win that way. And in a ring, you can't. You know, you go too close to the ropes, they restart you in the center of the ring. So, you know, then again, a ring has corners, you know, and you can lock people up in the corner, and a cage doesn't have any corners, so it's more difficult to lock people up in that. You see, it both has their pluses and downs.
Minus. All right, Boz, before we let you go, Jay Larkin, the new president of the IFL, announced a couple of weeks ago that the league was thinking of moving away from the team names and going into, you know, like a team Couture or a team, you know, whoever the coach may be, Team Newton, whatever. Is there a chance that the Anacondas, have you heard anything, are going to now become Team Rutan?
No. It's, you know what it is? I think they're going to keep the names, the Anaconda names and the Silverbacks. I think they're going to keep it, but I think they're going to connect it instead of the cities, like the LA Anacondas. It's going to be now, let's say, if it was me, the coach, the boss would was Anacondas, something like that, or whatever my team name is, if a punishment. It will be like, for instance, say it's the Anacondas from Team Punishment. But I think the names are still going to be attached. Only they're going to use, instead of cities, they're going to use, yeah, the coaching, the gym names or the coaches' names.
All right, Boz. You can catch Boz Rutan on the newly expanded HDNet Inside the MMA. It's now 1 hour. And also, I'm not sure if you know this, but especially here in the New York area, there's a new network called Imagination Television, and they're showing old Pancras fights. And so we're getting to see the great Boz Rutan of old dominating. So it's great for newer fans out there to get a chance to see you. I want to thank you very much for taking the time, and congratulations on Kimbo Slice's debut. I'm sure he'll have some tougher fights and hopefully come out on top in those as well. And for the IFL, December 29th from Uncasville, Connecticut, the finals of the World Grand Prix. Thank you very much, Boz.
You're welcome. I want to plug one thing. I did a real cool documentary with Aaron and Mella Fisher, and it's called Potent, P-O-T-E-N-T, Potent, themovie.com. There's a website you can go to. And if you like mixed martial arts, you're going to love it. And if you don't know anything about mixed martial arts, you're going to love it too. And you're going to realize, people are going to realize that there's way more to it than just two guys in a ring or a cage trying to beat the shit out of each other. And there's a lot of technique involved. They talk to a lot of coaches. And you really see that the whole... The brains behind the fighters and what's thought of fighting and how you set things up, and you know it's a real good documentary, and I hope that a lot of people are going to see it.
Boz seemingly showing up everywhere. Before you go, give us your parting line.
Like a Wapo always says, Godspeed and party on. Whoop!
I never get enough of it. Boz, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks.